study of His Word. We have, again, some visitors with us this evening, and we are glad that you have chosen to come and to worship God with us here at College View. Don't have a PowerPoint for you. It's very rare that I don't have PowerPoint, but you just have to listen this evening and hopefully follow along in the text. Ongoing health issues. Deadlines at work. Peer pressure at school. Family trouble. Problems in the local church. Political unrest and uncertainty. What do these things have in common? While you might think of something else, I am thinking this evening that these situations all demand perseverance. If we are to deal with them, if we are to overcome them, if we are to move on with our lives. Tonight, let's think for just a little while about this important biblical word and this important biblical concept, that of perseverance. As we begin this evening, I want to just take a moment to define the word perseverance, especially as it is used in Scripture. You know, depending upon what text or even what translation you are reading, there are several different words that are used throughout the New Testament and really throughout the Bible. Words like patience, words like endurance, words like steadfastness, and perhaps even some other words that are used interchangeably with this word that we're thinking about this evening, perseverance. Given again the text, given again the translation, what the translators chose, it may be one of those words or something related to that. Strong's in his dictionary defines the Greek word that is often translated in our English Bible, perseverance, or endurance, or patience, as being a cheerful or a hopeful endurance, a constancy. Well, I'd like for you to think about and remember as we go through our study this evening of perseverance from that definition is really the attitude that is involved in perseverance, the attitude that's involved in patience. What, yes, we can say that we're patient. Yes, we persevered through some situation in our life. Yes, we've been rock solid and steadfast and faithful to the Lord, but what kind of attitude have we had through all of that? And Strong says that there is an attitude that is associated with that. It is a cheerful attitude. It is an attitude of hope. And I think perhaps you'll see that in some of the scriptures that we will look at this evening. Thayer's made this observation about just kind of the word perseverance as it's used in general in the Bible. He said, in the New Testament, it is the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. What I want you to get maybe and remember out of that definition, that observation about perseverance is this, that it is connected to faith, and I think we'll see that as we look at the Scriptures this evening. It is an outgrowth of our faith. In A.T. Robertson, in his Word Pictures in the New Testament, made this observation about James 1 and verse 3, and we'll look at that passage a little bit later on this evening, where it talks to us about our need for perseverance and how we obtain perseverance in our life. He says it is used, as the Greek word is used in that particular verse, it is talking to us about staying power. I think most of us would get that from the word perseverance, just as we might use that in everyday conversation. But it's talking about we don't give up easily. So if you kind of put those three thoughts together, maybe that gives us a good idea or definition of perseverance. Perseverance is that quality, I think, that allows us to take the long view of life. It allows us to really see life, to see the good and the bad, to see every circumstance of life, whatever we are dealing with, through not our physical eyes, but through eternal eyes. It is to look at life through God's eyes. That's perseverance. It is not only staying the course for the rest of one's life, but as I said to you already, it is doing so with a Christ-like Spirit about us, it is doing so with a Christ-like attitude, with the right attitude. It is doing that joyfully. It is doing that full of hope and full of anticipation and expectation of better things to come. So keep those thoughts in mind as we look at a number of scriptures this evening that would talk to us about perseverance. As we begin really thinking biblically about perseverance this evening, I want us to begin by considering the source. What is the source of perseverance? Or we might ask the question better, who is the source of perseverance? If you have your New Testament with you tonight, go to the book of 2 Peter for just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want us to read verses 1 through 8, a text that many of us are familiar with. We even did, I think, a quarter's worth of classes on this a couple of years ago. But Peter, as he begins this second book to Christians, as he talked in the first letter to Christians of the first century that were suffering because they were faithful to the Lord, he begins talking here maybe to the same group of individuals who were dealing with the same problems in their life and giving them some encouragement as he begins 2 Peter 1. He says this, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness." I think Peter states the reason for obtaining and growing in these characteristics as he emphasizes that point to us when he comes to verse 8. It is because, as he's already said to us back in verse 4, since we who are God, since we are children of God, we have come out of the world, we have escaped the world's corruption by coming to Jesus Christ and entering a relationship with Him, we can now be partakers of the divine nature. That's not to say that we can be God, but we can be like God, and we ought to be striving to be more and more like God and more like His Son every day of our life. But God has saved us in Jesus Christ so that we can do that very thing, so that we can become partakers of His divine nature. We can have, in terms of our Wednesday night class again, we can have fellowship. We can be sharers in the nature of God. But God has saved us in Christ so that we can be more like Him, so that we can take on His character, and we do that by possessing and increasing in the divine attributes and other divine attributes, but the ones that Peter lists here and are listed elsewhere in the New Testament. You see, if we are striving to be more like Christ, we will be growing in all of these characteristics. We will be growing in our moral excellence or our virtue. We will be growing in our knowledge of God, not just our book smarts, as we might say, of the Word of God, but we'll be growing in our application, in our experiential knowledge of the Word of God, of His Son Jesus Christ. We'll be growing in self-control, and we will be growing in perseverance. And so we cannot become more and more like Jesus Christ. We cannot truly become partakers of the divine nature unless we are possessing these characteristics and continuing to grow. They're continuing to abound within our life. But what I want you to see here is that these characteristics, including perseverance, it comes from God. A similar thought to that is found in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 15. If you turn in your text there for just a moment, Romans chapter 15, notice verses 4 through 6. Paul writes here, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul describes God here in this text by saying that He is the God of perseverance. And as such, he goes on to tell us that God gives. Some versions might say in verse 5, now may the God of perseverance. But the New American Standard says, now may the God who gives perseverance. Because He is the God of perseverance, He can give us perseverance for all circumstances in our life, including, if you keep that in the context here, that He can give us perseverance to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength. That's what Paul has spent all of chapter 14 and the early part of chapter 15 talking to us about. If we consider ourselves to be strong in the faith, we have a responsibility to help carry the burdens, to help carry the load, to help strengthen those who are weak. And that takes perseverance. But God can also give us the perseverance, if you look there at verses 5 and 6, to be of the same mind with one another. Remember who Paul is specifically addressing these words to. It's the church in Rome. Jews and Gentiles, coming from totally different backgrounds, totally different cultures. And they were to become one in the body of Jesus Christ. And if we are going to do that, if we're going to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength, if we are going to be of the same mind with one another, the mind of Jesus Christ, that's going to take perseverance. We cannot give up on that easily. One way, I believe, Paul in this text tells us that God gives us perseverance. And maybe the chief way that He gives us perseverance is through the Scriptures. When we come to the Word of God, we not only see commands for us to persevere as His people, but we also see example after example after example of how we can do that practically in our life. How can we overcome the trials of our life? How can we do what's right when it's will be easy for us to do wrong? How can we grow and mold and shape ourselves so that we are looking more and more like the image of Jesus Christ every day? How can we do that without coming to the Scriptures? When we come to the Scriptures, it will help us to persevere. It will help us to incorporate this characteristic, this quality of perseverance within our lives. And when we do that, when we come to the Scriptures, what do we find? We receive encouragement, don't we? We receive encouragement to persevere in our work for the Lord. If we desire to practice perseverance, then we must be individuals who are devoting ourselves to consistent study of God's Word. We must be folks who are devoting ourselves to consistent meditation and application of the Word of God. It's just like a lot of those other characteristics that Peter mentions there in 2 Peter 1. We're not going to know any of those characteristics unless we come to the Word of God. We're not going to know what they are in the first place, but we're not going to know how to apply them to our life if we do not come to the Word of God. So we can come in those times, especially when we are in need of perseverance, and we can find the encouragement of the Scriptures that give us hope. Its source then, again, I say to you, is from God. This is not something that you just get up one morning and you say, you know, I'm going to have the strength, I'm going to persevere through this day. You can't go to a seminar on it or take classes on it, and that's not the kind of perseverance that's really going to help you. The perseverance that all of us need if we are children of God comes from God Himself. It comes from the mind of God that we have recorded and preserved for us in Scripture. Well, let's think for just a moment then, as we've considered the source of perseverance, to think about its cause and effect. What is it in our life that produces perseverance? And if we have perseverance, what is that going to produce in our life? If you're still there in the book of Romans, go to chapter 5 that Zach read for us just a moment ago. Let's read this passage once again. Romans chapter 5, the first 5 verses. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul begins this thought, this text here at verse 1, by stating the truth to us that the foundation of our peace and our hope is our faith in Jesus Christ, that faith that obediently responds to the grace that God has shown to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that reason, we can exalt, as he says here, in the hope, verse 2. We can exalt or glory in the hope of the glory of God. I don't know that there is any Christian who is walking this earth who would have trouble with that. Who would have a problem with glorying or exalting in the hope of the glory of God. That's a wonderful thought to consider. But some, maybe even many of us, I think, have trouble exalting in our tribulations. Yeah, we can rejoice in the glory of God, but it's kind of hard for us to rejoice in our tribulations and our trials in life. Yet Paul is saying to us here, if we want to experience that hope that he says does not disappoint, we must experience tribulation, because it is tribulation, he says, that produces perseverance within our life. And that perseverance produces a proven Christ-like character within our life. And that proven character ultimately results or produces hope within our life. We kind of want to jump over the unpleasant steps, the unpleasant experiences in life, because we want to get to that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So it seems to me, as you kind of, at least I was reading verses 1 through 5, that Paul kind of begins with that thought there of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ through His grace and that hope that is available to us. But then he talks about how we get to that hope in verses 3 and 4, and he comes back to that hope that does not disappoint in verse 5. We've got to experience tribulation, I'm convinced, in order for us to truly have this characteristic, at least to the degree that we need, this characteristic of perseverance in our life, and to really hang on to the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of James for just a moment, in James chapter 1. I think many of us are familiar with what James says here, a similar thought once again to Romans chapter 5. But I want you to notice maybe some connections that he makes here as well. Beginning at verse 2, he says, "Consider it all joy," and he's writing to those who are suffering. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance," or patience. "And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Experiencing the various trials of life, whether they are internal trials, whether they are external trials, James says it really tests our faith, which if we pass those tests, what does that do for us? It strengthens our faith. It makes us stronger. And that strong faith, James says, produces patience. It produces perseverance. So again, I would ask you this evening, can we really obtain perseverance to the degree that God wants us to obtain this spiritual characteristic if we do not experience trials of our faith? If our faith is never tested? Think about it just a moment. If we never had our faith tested, if we never encountered any problems or trials of any kind in our life, would we really need perseverance? I think most of us wouldn't have a problem going on. Most of us wouldn't have a problem looking to that hope every day of our life. It is because of those trials, it is because of those tests, of those temptations that Satan puts in front of us, that we have need of perseverance. Perseverance, James tells us in these few verses, through life's trials, results in making us perfect and complete. We can become sound Christians. We can become Christians who are healthy. We can become Christians who are fully developed in our faith in Jesus Christ. We can be complete in Christ. We can be more like Jesus Christ. But it only comes many times through the trials and the testings of life. Brother Mike Wilson, in his book on James, Faith in Action, made this observation. He said, "God's purpose in allowing these trials is not to make us fall, but to help us soar. And James goes on to talk about that. God is not the source of temptation. He is wanting us to soar. He is wanting us to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. James goes on to say, if you're reading there in James 1 at verse 12, that we are blessed people when we persevere under trial, because doing so results in God giving us that crown of life. We think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the greatest example, perhaps, of perseverance that there has ever been. And we think of Him going to the cross, and we think of Him now reigning and having all authority in heaven and on earth as the King of kings and Lord of lords. He could not do that until and unless He had gone through all of those trials. He had to, as we say sometimes, He had to wear the cross so that He could later wear the crown. So it is for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. We should look at those tribulations. We should look at those various trials of life, not so much from a negative standpoint, but we should look at them as to how can this produce perseverance within my life. And I believe if we would look at our trials that way, that we would find that they would produce the perseverance that we're speaking of this evening. Well, who is it that needs perseverance? There are just a number of passages all over the New Testament, obviously, that speak to this topic that we're thinking of this evening. Look at a few passages tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul says to this young preacher, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." It is those who are young, as Timothy was still young, those who are young maybe in the faith, those who are just young in age that are Christians, those who are men of God, as Paul uses that kind of description several times throughout 1 and 2 Timothy, maybe specifically thinking and applying that to Timothy as a preacher of the gospel, as a proclaimer of truth. So it's young Christians, it's men of God, it's preachers of the Word who need perseverance. And as you think about that statement here, that command really of Paul in verse 11 to young Timothy, and put it into the greater context here of chapter 6, the pull of the world and its polluting influence can be especially strong for those who are young in age. It can be especially strong for those who are young in the faith. It can be strong even for those of us who have devoted and dedicated our lives to proclaiming the gospel. Look, just because you're a preacher of the gospel doesn't mean you're immune. In fact, I think Satan may come at those of us who preach even harder than he does some other Christians. Notice it is not enough for us to just flee from worldliness. It's not enough for us to flee from useless controversy, as Paul has really hammered that point home to Timothy. It's not enough that we flee from false godliness. It's not enough that we flee from the love of money, given the immediate context. He says to Timothy and all of us, we must be pursuing. We've got to be running after. We've got to be chasing after. Perseverance. Because we need it within our life. To another preacher in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, not so much to Titus for his own individual information or to help him in his life, but he's giving him some instructions that he's then to turn around and give instructions to those within the congregations that he was working with. In chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "Here is what you are to teach the older men. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance." Just because one has been a strong saint for maybe decades does not mean that he has never tempted to quit in his service for the Lord. It doesn't mean that he never thinks, you know, what's the use? I'm devoted all of these years to the service of God, and what has it gotten me? How have I been a help to someone else? Older Christians need perseverance as well. Paul says you're to instruct those older men in the congregation to make sure that they have this quality of perseverance. In fact, it is those who are mature and stable in their faith that I think really set the example of perseverance for those who are younger, for those who may be struggling in their walk with the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read of some other Christians who were in need of perseverance. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 32 and reading down through the end of the chapter, the writer writing once again to Christians who were suffering. He said, "But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." As these Christians experienced suffering for Jesus Christ, as they even shared, he said, in the sufferings of their brothers and sisters in Christ, he says they had need of endurance or perseverance. Notice how several of these characteristics, several of these biblical concepts that we've looked in many of these passages this evening, notice how they're all connected here in Hebrews chapter 10. Notice how faith, knowledge, self-control, and perseverance are all beautifully tied together to save the soul. He says you need to live by faith. A faith, a kind of faith that's to the preserving of the soul. You need to do, and you have already done the will of God. You have accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. And he encourages them and urges them, don't shrink back, but hold on joyfully, so that you can receive what God has promised you. And then finally, from James chapter 5, so it's those who suffer as God's people. In James 5, verses 10 and 11, James says, "As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance or the perseverance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." If we took the time this evening to read back to verse 1 of this chapter, it may be the case that there were some Christians who were poor Christians, and the rich around them were taking advantage of them. And James is saying to them here, hang on. As he says there in verse 7, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And to help them do that, we have the advantage, again today, as we spoke of from Romans 15, to go to the Scriptures. They didn't have the book of James in the Bible as we have the Bible today, but they had received this letter from James. And so he was telling them they could even go back and look at the old Scriptures. He says, even for those who are the faithful of God, even for those who are strong saints of God, and he calls upon the example of the prophets. Do you remember what some of the prophets had to endure? Jeremiah? You remember what Elijah had to endure? Isaiah and others, because they were faithfully preaching the Word of God? We all remember Job and what happened to him and how God allowed Satan to test him, it seems, for quite a time in his life. So it is even those who are faithful and those who are strong and those especially who suffer for being strong, faithful Christians, it is those who need perseverance. I think as we read the Bible, we will find that every Christian, every single one of us, needs this divine characteristic of perseverance. It's easy as we look into the world, it's easy as we look at our brethren. Sometimes we see, it just seems to us that one here and one there and one over there are falling by the wayside and leaving the Lord. That serves as a negative example to us, and it can be easy for us to begin to think, maybe I should do the same. But if we're going to be true partakers of the divine nature, if we are going to grow, and if we're going to take a hold of that eternal inheritance, if you continue reading 2 Peter chapter 1, we've got to have perseverance. Well, you've listened well this evening. You've persevered. My lesson hasn't been too long, but you have gotten something out of that, and maybe you can think about some areas in which you need to practice more diligently this great characteristic of perseverance. Our song of encouragement tonight is going to be number 184. Without Him, we couldn't persevere. As the words of this song tell us, without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be dying. That's where we would all be without Jesus Christ. But because God loves us so much, we can have life. And we can overcome whatever life throws our way, whatever Satan throws our way, because of Jesus Christ. Do you know Him this evening? Does He know you? Are you truly a follower of His? If you're not, we would encourage you to become a Christian this evening. Or if you are a child of God and you have begun to slip away, maybe only you and God know that. To have this characteristic of perseverance, to see that through to the end with the attitude that Jesus even Himself displayed as He went to the cross for each one of us. If you need to become a Christian tonight, if you need even the prayers and the help and encouragement of your brethren here, persevere. We would encourage you to respond as we stand and as we sing.